I'm very happy to be here again in your very wonderful temple in Coventry. We carry with us many nice memories of our previous visits here, namely that under Haridas Prabhu's direction, he's a very enthusiastic devotee. And like father, like son, all of you are also very enthusiastic. You like kirtan. I sometimes wonder how all the walls have not come tumbling down in this city because of your ecstatic earthquake-like kirtans. I remember last year there were like 10,000 jambes here. Where were they? Maybe they're... Oh, they went to them. Okay. So I'm happy to be here with all of you again. Somewhere in the middle of England. I'm not exactly sure where I am. But it's called Coventry. So wherever we are, we take shelter of Krishna. And one way that we take shelter of Krishna is we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different than the Lord. It's his, you could say his literary incarnation, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scriptures. And today at our Sunday program in this august assembly of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, we'll speak from one of Śrīla Prabhupāda's favorite parts of the Bhagavatam. And because it was one of Prabhupāda's favorite parts, it's also one of our favorite parts, because he's our spiritual father. And again, like father, like son, so we feel very safe following in Prabhupada's footsteps and just doing things exactly as he taught us. So we'll try to follow in his footsteps and say something. So this is seventh canto, chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. We'll do text number 9. Manye dana bijanarupata pashuta jas teja prabhava balapurusha buddhi yoga naradhanaya hibhavanti parasha pumsho bhakta tutasha bhagavan gajayuta paya. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Purport. No kind of material qualification is the means for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhaktimam abhijananti. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Naham pakasha shavasya yogamaya samavritaha. This is the verdict of all Shastra. Neither by speculation nor by material qualifications can one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very, very beautiful and instructive verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, pregnant with so much instruction and deep meaning from one of our great acharyas, one of the 12 Mahajans of the great authorities in the science of devotional service. Here, Prahlad Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, a prodigy in Krishna consciousness. He's instructing us in the science of devotional service. He's our teacher. Just as in any field of education, we require the help of a teacher. So the same principle holds true in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because Krishna consciousness is the topmost education. Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Krishna says in his Gita that this knowledge is the king of all education. It's the secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self, because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. Rajavidya Rajaguyam. Rajavidya, vidya means knowledge. So Raj means king. This is the king of all education. Therefore, it requires topmost teacher. If you're learning something very simple, then you don't need to go to such an elevated teacher. Like if you're, I hope we don't have any kindergarten teachers here, but if you're a kindergarten student, the level of knowledge that your teacher may have, it doesn't have to be so deep. Kindergarten teachers, they don't have to go to school for like get masters and PhDs and things like that. They go to a school and they learn how to be kindergarten teachers and they teach that simple knowledge. But if you're studying in university, you have to hear from professors. They don't even call them teachers. They call them professors. If you're studying for a PhD, then you have your teacher has to be quite learned in the subject matter. So because Krishna consciousness is Rajavidya, it's the king of all education, it requires topmost teachers. So the Lord has empowered, really, 12 great personalities as authorities or science on the science of Krishna consciousness. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayashakir Vayam. This verse is under the belt of every stalwart preacher in Krishna consciousness. There's certain key verses that you have to know to conquer over the material energy and obtain the valuable wealth of Krishna consciousness. These are like stepping stones. Like you going across some flooded area, they put big stones down so you can walk across the flooded area. So to cross over the ocean of material existence, you need these stones, you need these verses to help you. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kipilo Manu Palado Janaka Bhishmo Balar Vayashakir Vayam. It should just be on the tip of your tongue as a devotee. Just like a materialistic person. He always has on the tip of his tongue some criticism of others, some faults. This is the disease of a conditioned soul. To elevate himself, he tries to make others look less than him. So he's very expert at fault finding. But a devotee is very expert at finding the good qualities in others, especially the devotees, especially God brothers and God sisters. So a verse like this, where we're glorifying our authorities in Krishna, this is always there, right in the tip. The devotee is always ready to say some verse like this. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlad, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principles. And he's, just to hear these names gives great pleasure to the heart. So much is in a name. When you hear the name of someone like Kumbhakarna, Ravana, Kamsa, Shishupal, Dantavarkya, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, scared. But you hear the name of these great souls and it gives some pleasing sensation. They're our shelter. So Prahlad, he's one of the 12 Maha. He's only 5 years old. You know what prodigy means. Prodigy means like sometimes in society there's a little child who just climbs up on the piano at 4 years old. Vivaldi. And the mother and father, what is this boy's? And then the news goes out in the neighborhood and then town and the country, we have prodigy. We have something they can't explain by science. How sometimes little children, they're poets at four, they're musicians, they're singers, they do this advanced, you know, mathematics. There was one boy in Iskot, I forget. He lived in Boise, Idaho. And he was something like eight, but he was in university. So we have in our Krishna conscious movement, we have the child prodigy, we have Prahlad Maharaj. And even as I travel around the world, I go different places and meet so many devotees, so many families, so many grihastras. Sometimes I'm amazed by the children, how advanced the children are. I always talk to the children just to see where this nice little boy, what is your name? Yeah, he's a very nice, humble Vaishnava. He's chanting one or two rounds a day, and he likes Krishna consciousness. He likes to come to the temple, likes Bhagavatam. So we have, so here's, for the children, here's their hero. Their hero is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad is our authority, and we are his students sitting at his lotus feet as he instructs. We may be 10 years old, 20, we may be 40, we may be 100 years old, but we're sitting at his lotus feet. Prabhupada means at whose feet all other masters sit. So this title is given to one who is the teacher of teachers. Jesus was king of kings, Prabhupada's teacher of teachers. So we all sit at Prahlad's feet. He's enlightening us. And he's telling us, as a perfect acharya, that one can only understand the Lord through the process of devotional service. He hasn't made this up. What is a teacher's foremost qualification? That he repeats verbatim what he learns from Guru Shastra Sadhu. That is teacher. What he learns from Guru Shastra Sadhu. He doesn't make something up. But Guru Shastra Sadhu. And he repeats that with vigyan. Mere repetition is not enough. One has to realize the subject matter. That's called vigyan. By the realization, you can penetrate into the heart of your audience and destroy ignorance and awaken Krishna consciousness. This is something mystical that can only be experienced in the association of devotees, that the speaker speaks and he enlightens us with Krishna consciousness. So really, to be a spiritual master, a representative of the Lord, in which one sense we all are, because Lord Chaitanya said, all of you become guru and deliver your land. We are all representing Śrīla Prabhupāda, we're representing Lord Chaitanya, representing Bhagavad Gita. So we have to not only know, we have to realize. And how do you realize the knowledge? By living the knowledge. Tadvidi paripātena pariprasuna sevaya upadekshanti teganam ghanash tattva darshanaha. Tadvidi paripātena. You approach a saintly person, pariprasuna sevaya. This is the formula for Krishna consciousness. Pariprasuna, you inquire, asur kiyami. Who am I? And Shivaya. You serve that sadhu. By inquiring and hearing and serving, you get vigyan. That's very scientific. What is science? Science means you have an hypothesis, you have a means to carry out the experiment, and you get the results. That's science. We're not mystified by science. We have a grasp on it. Hypothesis, experiment, conclusion, H2O. Two molecules of hydrogen, one of oxygen. It's a theory. Take the hydrogen, take the oxygen, mix it up in a bag, the vapor, boom, water, show your scientific friends. So here's our formula. Pariprasuna sevaya, ancient formula. Approach sadhu, inquire, sir, who am I? What is God? What is my relationship with God? You act on that knowledge, you serve Guru and Krishna, and then the light comes on. They have that in the comic strips, sometimes there's a light bulb above the head. The light comes off. You become enlightened. Very scientific. Krishna consciousness is the perfect synthesis between science and religion. Now they're so separated. But this is the synthesis between science and religion, Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj, we're hearing from him, he's giving us the formula. He's a guru, our guru, that only by the process of devotional service. So where do we hear, does Krishna say that? Yes, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And anyone who's serious to know God must take this statement very literally. Krishna has the right to determine how he can be realized. We can't dictate to God how he can approach him. It's like in the material world. Can an ordinary man make the rules how he'll meet the president of this country? No. Well, you have prime minister here. The president, he dictates. Well, if people want to meet me, then they must go through the process of approaching their local council, who will inquire from, you know, the ministry, who will send a note to me, and that's how I'll be met. A common man can't just say, well, this is the way you meet the president. Mr. President, this is the way I'm going to meet you. Excuse me, the president says, I'm the authority, and this is the way you're going to meet me. So in the same way, if you want to approach God, well, you better read his book, Bhagavad Gita. He says how he can be approached. Bhakti mam abhijananti. If you want to meet me, he said, premanjani charati bhakti valochanena. You have to fall in love with me. You have to fall out of love with the material world and into love with God. We've made the cardinal sin of falling out of love with God and into love with the material world. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, my Lord, let me serve you, let me love you. We sing, money is the honey, money is the honey, it's so sweet, it can't be beat. Money, we're paraphrasing, but actually it's a fact. Money is God. Money and women, or money and men, depending what side of the room you're on here. This is the business. This is all perverted reflection of our real love for Krishna. So we have to fall out of love with materialistic life and into love with Krishna. And that way will he can be realized. There's three types of transcendentalists who try to approach God. Many strokes, many folks, whatever they say. Basically, there's yogis, there's jnanis, and there's bhaktas. The yogis, they try to impress God with their mystic powers. The jnanis, they try to impress the Lord with their vast knowledge. The devotees, they try to impress the Lord with their devotion. Really, it's the devotion that attracts the Lord. Not difficult to understand how Krishna is attracted by love. What endears someone to you more than anything else? Their clothes, their language, their job? No. It's their love. When someone shows some care and attention to you, you naturally give your heart to them. It's the same with God. I remember when I was even now in this movement, in my dealings with the children in our movement, although they're very young and you could say they can't really understand what Krishna consciousness is, they're the future. Any society, any civilized society puts a lot of time and energy into their children. And generally they do that in the form of education. I was traveling around America and I was just stunned by the level of education that children are getting, even in grade school. What they're are learning in grade school, I was learning in high school. And what they're learning in high school, I was learning in college, and well, I didn't actually finish college, but. And the American society puts so much money into education, you know, so much. They realize that. So great foundation for being successful. And it's true to a certain degree. So when I travel around, I like to give some attention to the children. And they may not like really understand what is Krishna consciousness, you know. For them it's colors and Sandesh and balloons and jumping up and down, and you know, but they get a sense of Krishna consciousness, an impression which is later solidified by their spiritual master, as Prabhupada said. He dedicates the Krishna book to his father. He's a sannyasi, has renounced all material life, but he dedicates the Krishna book to his dad, who he said, who, Gaur Mohan Day, who gave me an impression of Krishna consciousness, which was later solidified by my eternal father, spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So if we can give the kids an impression, and what is the deepest impression of, what are we really trying to achieve in Krishna consciousness? Love! This movement's all about love. Ultimately, loving God, because that's the intrinsic nature of every soul, every atma. As the intrinsic nature of salt is that it's salty, the intrinsic nature of sugar is sweet, the intrinsic nature of water is wet. What is the intrinsic nature of that force within you, that spark of life, that atma, that soul? What is its very essence? To love. And to be loved. In the spiritual world, love reigns supreme. It's all loving pastimes. So if we can give our children a little attention, they may not know, but an impression, some loving feelings like that, then that will carry on, and then they'll want to love Krishna. It's like we learn to love the Guru through associating with our God brothers and God sisters. We learn to love Krishna by serving our spiritual master. So we give this impression to the children. I remember when I was about 9, my father was in the advertising business. And he used to get different contracts. And one time I was very happy to learn my father got a contract with the San Francisco 49ers. Now, of course, that doesn't mean anything to you here in Coventry, England, but something like Manchester United or Liverpoolians or, you know, sorry. But in America, we have American football. It's a little bit different than the football over here. Well, a lot different. But we had our heroes, too. And this was in the 1950s. And I was, you know, a fan, a devotee of the San Francisco 49ers football team. And my hero was the quarterback. He's a guy, you know, you ever seen American football? He calls all the shots and he throws the football and like that. He's a quarterback. Every kid's dream is to become a quarterback in the pro leagues in America. So the quarterback's name was Y.A. Tittle. And he was, to this day, he's in the Hall of Fame. He was such a good quarterback. And I idolized him. I knew everything about him. I forgot, but thank God I forgot. I knew everything about him. And I watched every game. I was just a kid. And one day my dad came home. And he had an autographed piece of paper by Y.A. Tittle. Because he had the contract for promoting them. And he knew how much I liked Y.A. Tittle. So he asked Y.A. Tittle to do a photo, a signature. I took that to school. Boy, was I the big guy on the block. All my friends. Where'd you get that? My dad got it for me. Can I buy it from you? Even if you gave me $1 million, I couldn't give you this. Let me hold it. Nope, can't touch it. You know? Let me touch it. Well, you buy me lunch and I'll let you touch it. And, you know, I was playing football also, so I put in a little plastic sheet. When I was playing, I'd keep it next to my heart. And one day my dad said, son, I've arranged a meeting between you and Y.A. Tittle. Oh, my God. I said, Dad, you're the best dad in the whole wide world, you know. So that Saturday, my father took me to the, they have the game? The stadium. And the San Francisco 49ers were playing, I think, the New York Giants, some team. It was a big game. And I got to go down on the side of the field, and I got to meet Mr. Tittle, and he was all suited up in his football, but he didn't have his helmet on. He was like towering, like tall there. I looked down, wow, Y.A. Tittle. And I thought he was going to be like really official, you know, and speak to him. And he kneeled down, and he said, so what's your name? I said, my name's Brian. He said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. I said, oh, He said, come on over with me. So he took me off like 10 yards away. You know, and the game was just about to begin. The players were all warming up, and the umpire was ready to blow the whistle. And he looked over, and there's Wyatt Tittle with his kid. And there's 100,000 people in the stands, and Wyatt Tittle's, you know, delaying the game to speak to me. And I knew that. So he kneeled down. He said, so, to be a good quarterback, you got to be a good boy. He said, you got to get really good grades in school. And I said, why? He said, because out there on the field, it's not just, you know, running around and kicking the football, throwing the football. He said, I have to think in my mind a lot of intelligent plays, like to fool the other team. And, you know, so we've got like 20 or 30 different plays that we call when I get the ball. I said, really? He said, yeah, therefore I had to study really hard in school. So he said, I want you to become a really good student. You understand? And I said, yes, Mr. Tittle. You know, what my father and mother couldn't do for so many years. You know, why Tittle? I said, yes, Mr. Tittle. I will study. And what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go on to university. I said, yes, Mr. Tittle, go on to university. I was 8 years old, you know. I said, what else should I do, Mr. Tittle? He said, never smoke cigarettes. Because there wasn't a lot of drugs in it. He said, don't drink beer and alcohol. I said, yes, Mr. Tittle, I promise you. Even if your friends tell you, he said, don't you do it. Keep your fingernails clean. Wear clean clothes. Eat good food. Eat a balanced diet. Don't watch too much television. And you know, the umpire's on the field. Mr. Tittle, there's 100,000 people here waiting. He said, I'll be there just 1 minute. This boy's asking some questions, you know. It's a true story. So he said, anything else? I said, Mr. Tittle, can you show me how to throw a football? He said, okay, I'll show you my secret. And you know, the American football is kind of like that. It's not a round ball, it's like that, and it's got little grooves on it. So he said, my trick is, he said, you hold the ball like this. And he kind of went to Karastan, he put his fingers in a special way on the ball. He said, that's the Wyatt Tittle quarterback pass. I'm just teaching it to you because you're a good boy, right? I said, yes, but Tittle, I take the ball. So then he stepped back about 10 yards. He said, throw the ball. So I threw the ball, and I missed him. He said, no, you can't throw it. He said, not like this. He said, you got to cock your arm like this. You know, the whole football stadium's and the television, radio's all winning. But he's taking the time for a kid. And we threw about 4 or 5 passes, and the umpire came over and really got angry. Mr. Tittle, I'm going to throw you out of the game. He said, okay, one more pass to this boy. So then I caught it. He said, Brian, that football's yours. He said, and he took a pen and he signed it to Brian from Wyatt Tittle. Man, I got slept with that football for about 5 years. You know, like kids sleep with teddy bears. So he put maybe 9 or 10 minutes, but it made such an impression on me. You know, I so much respected authority in one sense after that, because here was an authority. He was the biggest guy in my life, and he took some time for me. I was so... And then I watched every game and, you know, everything. And when he got knocked down, there was one big game he knocked down, and he was bleeding, you know, and I was crying in front of the television. Like that. So then I remembered that when I grew up and I became a devotee and I became like, quote unquote, you know, a hero in the eyes of our children, then I think, well, let me give them some time. This is why sometimes devotees wonder, what's Maharaj doing? He's spending some time with the kids. But I always remember Mr. Tittle. He didn't care what the whole football stadium thing. So I do that as an example, just because. And then the kids, you see how they don't know what Krishna comes, but there's some love there, some exchange in it. Some years ago, I was in America, and one woman walked up to me. She was 23 or 24, and she said, Guru Maharaj, what? I never knew her. I want to get initiated by you. You're doing an initiation this weekend. I want to get initiated by you. And I said, well, you know, generally there's a process that, you know, you approach a spiritual master, then there's some correspondence over 6 months or a year or something, 2 years, and then you know. She said, no, I know you very well. I said, well, I don't know you. She said, yes, you do. So when did I meet you? When I was 3 years old. You came to Gita Nagari farm community. I was in the Gurukul. I was 3. And you were having one of those Whomper Stomper kirtans. And you picked me up and you put me on the drum. And you played the drum and you were twirling around. And then you put me down and I ran to my mom and I said, Mommy, I know who my guru is. So of course it should be something more than that. But it made an impression. So then as she grew up, she listened to the Tate Ministry and she got my books. And she, you know, the impression that was there was solidified. And so then I initiated her. Because the Shraddha was there, the faith was there. So it really, it's the love. So if we want to attract the Lord, we have to attract His attention, not by mystic powers, not by jnana, but as He says, patram pushram phalam toyam. You just offer me a fruit, a flower, a leaf. I'll accept it if there's some bhakti in there. So now we're trying to go deep within our hearts and discover that bhakti, because it's all covered now. It's covered by lust. It's covered by anger. And it's covered by greed. But how do we uncover it? We, again, establish loving relationships, spiritual relationships, with the Vaishnavas, with our spiritual master, with Krishna, in an authorized way. I mean, bhajana kriya, adoshadha tata bhajana kriya, adoshadha tata... How's it going? Late nights last night again. Ado shvadhata ta sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya narta nivritti syat. It's not something whimsical or sentimental. It's bhajana kriya means the rules and regulations of devotional service. We engage in that way, in a regulated life of rules and regulations, Krishna consciousness, authorized way, and then slowly the authorized loving sentiments come out. And this is ultimately what will attract Krishna. He says, as Prahlada is saying, I can be understood as I am only through the process. And this is very encouraging to us as devotees. This is the best news to an aspiring devotee. We read in Padyavali by Sri Rupa Goswami. He quotes one devotee, perhaps, well, we don't know who he is. There's no history of him that at least I found in our shastras, but Rupa Goswami is living at a time when there were many devotees, great followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, eternally liberated souls, and they may or may not be known, but he quoted one of them. His name was Sri Jagannath Sena. And he said, Jagannath Sena wrote, O Lord Yadavendra, I am fallen, but when I remember your name, Dinabandhu, friend of the fallen, I become encouraged. And when I hear that you love your devotees, my heart trembles. Krishna loves his devotees, so we got to do our part of the deal. As they say, it takes two to tango. So, Lord's loving sentiments are never covered over, they're never perverted like ours. Ours have been covered over and perverted in the form of lust. But if we can get free from that lust, then we can begin the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, bhajana kriya. Prabhupada said one time that real devotion, real bhakti begins when one is free from sex desire. Because sex desire is the most perverted form of material desire in this world, the most difficult to overcome. But if we can overcome that in all forms of material desires, then we have a chance to develop the treasure of our heart, which is bhakti. This is the great truth that Prahlad has, and all of our acharyas have revealed, that God is a person and He's the supreme lovable object. As Prabhupada very elegantly put it in his Vyasa Puja offering to his Guru Maharaj. Because as Kaviraj Goswami says, elegance is truth spoken concisely. So Prabhupada said, sentient being, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast removed. Sentient being, thou hast proved. In other words, spiritual master establishes the absolute truth, not as a light, not as an energy, not as a force, but a person. And what type of person? The most lovable person. So the duty of the spiritual master is to teach his disciple step by step the process of awakening that love for God. That is the spiritual master. On a tape I was listening to this morning, Prabhupada said, really only the Vaishnav guru is the only real spiritual master. Because he teaches the essence of Shastra. Savai pum sham pada dharmo yato bhaktira doksaji ahaitakiya patiyata yayat maashrupashirati. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which one can awaken his love for Krishna. Such love for Krishna must be ahaituki apatiyata, must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. How do we understand it? You know, we have some analogies in this world. Analogies aren't always perfect because they're a material example trying to show us something in the spiritual world. One time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote, "The material world can sometimes be seen as a dictionary for understanding the spiritual world." Like you get a dictionary and you look up H-O-R-S-E, horse, a four-legged animal with a long tail, a long neck, and it makes a neigh sound. So it's not a horse, but by reading the dictionary you get an impression of what a horse is. So in the same way, analogies give us an impression of something spiritual. It may not be perfect, but so Prabhupada said this love, which is a very deep subject matter, but anyway, the closest thing to real love that we can see in this world is the love of a mother for her baby. I mean, you see what the mothers sacrifice, you know, when they have the babies. They even have to sacrifice chaining around, so that's not a very good example, but sometimes you see they're just so busy day and night, they don't even sleep. How many of you have our mothers? Raise your hands. You remember, Mata, how the first months you didn't sleep, the baby was crying, and then even up till now you've given your all to your children. So Prabhupada said that's the nature of love. We often quote what one elderly couple told me one time when I asked them. They were married 75 years. They were going on their 75th wedding anniversary holiday. And I said, "How did you do it?" Because 3 out of 4 marriages end in divorce. And even in Krishna consciousness, we see sometimes couples are struggling in that relationship of husband and wife. And they said at the same time, their elderly couple, "You have to give more than you take." I said, "That's wonderful. I'm going to use that in my Bhagavatam class." Anibilasita sunyam jnana karma navitam anukalena krishnu shilanam bhaktirutama. That's Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service. You give your very all to Krishna. "But if I give my very all, what's left? Who will maintain me?" Krishna says, "For such a devotee, fully surrendered soul, Atmanivedanam, fully surrendered to Krishna," he says, "Yogakshemam bahamyam. For that devotee, I provide whatever he needs, and I provide and I protect whatever he has." Is it true? Yes. God is saying. Therefore, to increase that faith in Vedic culture, a man would renounce society altogether. He would wander as a mendicant with no security, no family, no government to protect him, no bank balance, no money, no weapons, nothing. Just a cloth around his waist, a water pot, and his mala. And he would see, by always chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." God would always provide for him, and God would protect him. And that lesson you need to learn before you die. So therefore, sannyas was mandatory at a certain stage. You had to leave the security and the comfort and the shelter of home. And your whole world became your home. They would even go to the forest, because the forest is a very dangerous place. And they would purposely put themselves in dangerous situations. And they, when there was danger, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare." "I'm still living. Thank God." Yeah. A sannyasi had to take risk so that Rakhi Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Rakhi Ke. If God wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if God wants to save you, no one can kill you. Even the biggest tyrant this world has ever known, Hiranyakashipu, couldn't touch the head, the hair on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, because he was protected by Narasimha Bhagavan. So like that, if we give to the Lord, he gives in proportion to our surrender. All of them, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So even though we don't have that devotion, we practice. What is sadhana bhakti? We're doing the same thing that the liberated souls do in the spiritual world. They're doing it with full realization. We're doing it with a little bit of cautious faith. We're doing the same thing. From the morning we get up to we take rest at night, we're doing the same activities that liberated souls do. It's called sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice. But practice makes perfect. By doing it long enough, the archaic old material desires fall away, and the real nature, the spiritual desires, they become manifest. So what is our motto? What is our mission statement? You've heard of mission statement? You have a what is my mission statement in life? You don't have to go out and write your own mission statement. There's so many mission statements by so many great devotees. Just pick one of them. Don't make up your own. What do you know? Follow in the footsteps of the Mahajan. What is a mission statement? How about this one? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavicham, va, jagadisha kamae, mama janmani, janmani, ishware, bhavata, bhakti, ahaita kithwe. That's my mission statement. What does it mean, sir? I am a devotee of God, and my desire is to become a pure devotee. So what does that translate? Sir, it translates as, my Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, I don't want to enjoy the opposite sex, I don't want pratishta, name and fame, I don't want to be even known as a great devotee. Well, what do you want, sir? I just some seva at your feet, I can wash the floor, so if you want, Krishna. But you're a big man in this world, you're a big businessman, millions of dollars, very famous, he said. Sir, it means nothing, at death it will all be taken away. My real treasure is to do some seva. If I will consider washing the floor of your temple more valuable than all the gold and fame of this world, please give me some seva. Because that guarantees me that in the future I will become your devotee. So who qualifies for that type of love? Well, first of all, it rules out the gross materialists because they're only concerned about sense gratification. Selfish sense gratification. And what does Krishna say of such people? Naham barkasya sarvasya yoga maya samanvritaha. I'm never manifested the foolish and unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my internal potency. Okay. That your lust will never attract God because it's something very selfish. But it also rules out all the other classes of transcendentalists as well. It's a very fine line here. Krishna bhakta nishkama atta eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikam akileya shanta. Another cornerstone verse. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he's shanti, he's peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis want liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they're all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Wow! That's Kaviraj Goswami. He's calling the yogis lusty. He's calling the yogis and the jnanis lusty. Wow! What do you mean for... Yes, because they're maintaining some independence from God. They want to enjoy the subtleties of material nature by mystic powers. They want to enjoy the knowledge for knowledge's sake alone. No, sir. Only bhakti. But what type of bhakti? You're all bhakti yogis. But have you seen Krishna? No. Because our bhakti is 9 karat. Then there's 18 karat, there's 22 karat, and there's 24 karat. Now many of you men, most of you men are married, when you go to India and you bring some jewelry back for your wife, you've heard her say many times, 22, 24. In America, you don't, ladies, you don't find the 22 karat gold here, do you? I know, because I buy jewelry not for some Mataji, but I buy for my deities, Narsingh Bhagavan, Vaikuntha. He likes the opulence, so I have the gold swords, the gold hatchets, the gold ropes, the gold AK-47. No. So I know, and as you know, there's different qualities. So America, you get 9 carat, you get 18 carat. But you go to India, you get that rich luster, the 22. And I don't know if they make jewelry in 24 because it's too soft, but at least 22 carat. And this is what you want. So in bhakti, there's 9 karat bhakti, there's 18 karat, 22 and 24. There's karma mishra bhakti, Ghanamishra Bhakti. There's bhakti which is mixed with some fruit of desire. There's bhakti which is mixed with some impersonal desire, like devatas, demigods. Very elevated personalities. They're half gods, demigods. That alone should convince any Hindu that they're not supreme. They're demigod. They're not full god. They're demigod, half god. Very, very great souls, but you know, you've heard about Indra and how he gets himself in trouble, and Brahma stole the cows and the cowherd boys, and you know, they get in trouble sometimes because the heart is not complete. Cheto dharpana marjam. There's still something remaining, even subtle. Like it describes in 7th Canto, when Lord Nrisingadeva put his hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, he freed him of any material desires that were left within his heart. How's it possible? Well, Prahlad says, because I was born in a family of demons, I have the blood of my demoniac father running through my veins. Of course, we know he's eternally liberated, Nityasiddha, but for the pastime, just like camphor, you put a piece of camphor here, and you take it away, it's no longer there, but you can smell it very... this very strong odor of camphor. So you may remove all those lusts, that anger and greed, but the desires are so nasty, they just like super glue, like a strong magnet, we're attached to this world. And to just get rid of every little attachment, even in bhava, Bharat Maharaj was on the level of bhava, he was chanting and tears were coming from his eyes, but something was still there, he got attached to a baby deer. And he died in that conscience, had to take birth again. That was something very... So, therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is very strict. They're all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta. Bhukti, mukti, shri kam, akaleya shanta. We don't want... Like Jesus said, either for me or you're against me. There's no gray zone. Pure devotional service. It's a line. You're either with Rupa Goswami or you're against Rupa Goswami. I'm a devotee. Well, if you're maintaining material desires, even after hearing so many instructions on this matter, you're nonsense. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, upon chanting the holy names, if tears don't flow from your eyes, your hairs don't stand in, your voice doesn't falter, you don't fall down on the ground unconscious, it means you're still committing one or more offenses to the holy name. This is how a humble devotee feels, although he may be glorified by their devotees, or you've done this, you know. He says, hey, when I chant Hare Krishna, you see any tears here? Don't speak about me like that. Tell me what's wrong with me. Don't tell me what's right with me. But in a non-critical way, of course. Constructive criticism. When you go to a doctor, you don't expect a doctor, you're doing fine, looking great, you got a nice tan, doctor, you got a tummy ache, you got blue eyes, wonderful nail, doctor, I got a blue, that'll be $10, please. Why, you didn't tell me anything? No, sadhu means one who cuts. You read Prabhupada's purport, sometimes a little uncomfortable. Oh yeah, all those nonsense materialistic people. Hey, this is like a mirror, see? Bhagavatam's supposed to be like a mirror. Not talking about somebody else, it's talking about you. Charity begins at home. This is how devotee sees these obstacles between him and Braj, between him and Radha and Krishna. Like you sweep, you see the people sweeping the path in Vrindavan every morning? When you see them, those cleaner people sweeping, think, oh yeah, I have to do like that. I have to sweep my heart to go on this path of Braja. Because only that pure devotion, of course, bhakti will always attract the Lord, but if you want the association of the Lord, like Hanuman, we have Hanumanji here. Now, after all was said and done, the battle for Lanka was over, Ravana was killed, Ram came, Hanuman! You're my selfless, pure devotee. You did so much service. What do you want? Hanuman, you could have asked for the world. He said, Lord, because Dasya, you just give me a little hug. For all he did, he wanted a hug. Some love. So therefore, the Ram embraced him. So if you want the hug, you have to have the heart of Hanuman. Not that you can imitate, put on the saffron cloth, or this or that. Or what. It's a change of heart. Cheto dharpana marjanam. And how to do it? Because the heart is so thick, crusted, like burnt milk. You burn the milk when you're cooking, you know how it's really hard to remove the burn milk? That's the heart. You need a really strong cleaning agent. And Mahaprabhu has given. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will clean very, very quickly. And then we'll get that reciprocation. Otherwise, you may get some glimpses from time to time, but it's not enough. Like the Lord told Narada. Narada was a young boy. He left home. He was in the forest. He was very determined because he had the association of those great souls. So Krishna appeared to him. And he went, wow. He thought he was kind of like, I don't know, how did I get this darshan? It's not completely cleansed the heart. But the Lord disappeared, and then he said, O Narada, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely freed from all material taints can hardly see me. But as you free the heart, the Lord reciprocates. But even in the beginning he's so kind, there's a lot of reciprocation. Like he says, Sarva dharmam paricha ja, mamekam saranam braja, aham tam sarva papebhyo moksasi ma suchaha. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the non-devotees, the potential devotees, because everyone's a devotee of God, ultimately. Just stop your sinful ways, abandon all your nonsense, surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. You see how much mercy he gives, even to like someone who's caught. Should I become a Hare Krishna? You know that point in your life? I don't hardly remember, but I think there was a time I was thinking, should I do this or not? You have the daisy line. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. Should I become a devotee? Not a devotee. Become a devotee? I should become a devotee. Oh no. Okay, if you become my devotee, here's the first policy and the insurance policy. I'll protect you from all sin. Stop it. Stop your meat eating, your intoxication, let's say again. Start chanting my name. What do I get? I have to wait 1,000 births? No. I'll protect you from the sinful reactions that you occurred for millions and millions of lives. What a bargain. We think that's a big thing. Actually, it's not so big. Haridas Thakur, he told the Brahmanas, it's not such a big thing that by chanting God's name you become freed from sinful reactions. It's not a big thing that you get free from material desires. What's the big thing? What's the news? What's the big story on the front page? By chanting Hare Krishna, you get prema. O Govinda, feeling your separation. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more, tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant. Vipralamba bhava. That you get by the mercy of the holy name. So all of them, as they surrender, from the very beginning, it's so nice, Krishna consciousness. From day one. And we can hardly imagine what it will be like when we become Atmanivedanam. One time after a kirtan, devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that was ecstasy. Prabhupada said, you don't even know what is ecstasy. So we should have faith that the more we surrender, the more we give up these selfish desires, the more service that we do, then this very wonderful reward. Of course, we're not in it for a reward, but the philosophy is there that by being the humble servant, we're happy because that's our constitutional position. Jivir supoya krishnara nityadas. So why should we let these petty desires come in between us and something so glorious as pure devotional service? One time Prabhupada asked Malati's husband at that time, Shamsundar, to carve some deities, Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, because he was artistic. Big deities he was carving. You could hear him with the wooden hammer and the metal. So Prabhupada came up to inspect the work. And he saw that just as he came in, Shamsundar took a puff on the cigarette and put it down on the ashtray. The ashtray was Lord Jagannath's head, because it was a carving. And the cigarette was burning on the wooden deity. It wasn't painted yet. And Prabhupada said, what is this? Prabhupada, you know, it's just a little habit. I can't give it up. Prabhupada said, why let this stupid habit of smoking a cigarette come between you and God? Don't you realize the benefits that are there when you can sacrifice that for the higher purpose of serving God? And the more the Lord sees you surrender, He'll help you. You're not alone. You're not alone in this process. You've got God, you've got Guru, and you've got Vaishnava. We're never alone. And for the pure devotee, the Lord gives his very self. As we see in the gopis, they're the most surrendered. Aradhyo Bhagavan Prajesha Tanayas Taddama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachid Upashan Brajavadu Vargena Yagopita. Mahaprabhu said, because the Lord performed his pastimes in Vrindavan, that land is worshipable. Of all the methods of worshipping Krishna, bhakti is the best. And who are the best devotees? The gopis of Vrindavan. They gave everything to Krishna, even their reputations. So Krishna gave his very self. He never leaves them. Radharani is called Anapayani. It means that she's never separated from Krishna. Of course, it seems there's separation, but in the mood of separation, there's constant remembrance with the Lord. And those girls, they didn't have any material qualifications. They were village girls. They weren't born in very high Brahmin families. Their fathers were cowboys. Their richness was cow dung and milk and ghee. They didn't have an education, but they're the best devotees. They didn't have any material qualification, but they were the best of devotees, and Krishna associates with them the most. Therefore, again, in Padyavali, such a nice book, Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's personal verse book. It doesn't happen so much now, but in the old days in ISKCON, remember, every devotee, because we used to study more, probably to 2 hours a day, so every devotee had a verse book. I remember one of my godbrothers, Jayantakrit from France, he was a very scholarly devotee, very nice devotee, and he had one thick verse book, and he knew all the verses, or Keshav Bharti Maharaj, he knows the whole Bhagavad Gita. I'm so jealous. Like that. So it's very nice to have the compendium of their learning, like Shivaram Maharaj, his Sudha Bhakta Chintamani, the new book he's written. What is this book? It's just the essence of all his study through all these. He's a very scholarly person, a very devotional personality. So that book, as you could say, all of his notes, all of his verses, all of his realizations in a book form. I think it's a historic book in ISKCON. It's like a fundamental book everyone should read to understand the science of Krishna consciousness, how to understand Prabhupada's teachings. That's a nice book. So Rupa Goswami had his own book. And in that Padyavali, he has a very nice prayer talking about how you don't need material qualifications, you just need bhakti. That means anybody can be a devotee. He says, he quotes Sri Dakshinatya, another famous devotee. We offer our dandabhats to his lotus feet. All we know is one verse that he left us. Where was the hunter Dharma's piety, Dhruva's maturity, and Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Sridham's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? They had none of these things. But the Lord accepted them because Lord Madhava is pleased by devotional service and not by any material qualifications. And here in this verse today, Prahlad Maharaj uses the example of Gajendra. He's a dumb animal. I hope I don't get leprosy for saying that. But he was a great devotee, but he, as the Leela, he took the birth as the elephant to illustrate that the Lord is not impressed by any material qualification. What's elephant? What kind of qualification? You know, he goes way off the scale. People are so concerned, like, you know, society, if you weigh just this much, you're kind of a lean, thin model, then you're the ideal. Here comes this big, fat elephant. And you think someone's beautiful because they have a nice nose. It's elephant nose. And when he goes to the loo, he passes outside. Big dumps of elephant dung. He has no material qualifications. But in an embarrassing situation where he was caught by the crocodile in the lake. There was no recourse. Because of his past devotional service, the shlokas came to his mind. All those shlokas which we memorize in our mind but really should be etched on our heart. They're teaching us the science, authorized, not some sentimental, but some authorized science. They're there, right in our heart. He remembered them. And in that epic moment, he picked a lotus flower out of the lake. This is there, this trunk, and he offered it to Vishnu. And he some choice poetry he sang to the Vaishnava, poetry he sang. And he pleased the Lord. So this weekend, that means, what does it mean? It means that all of us have a chance. Because in Kali Yuga, who has any qualifications? Kalosudra Sambhavan. Everyone's low-class sudra. What qualifications do we have? We don't have. Even if you have them, you don't impress the Lord. What to speak if you don't have them? All you have to do is just try to wake up that dormant bhakti. How do you do it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare
Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram,
Ram. It's the bhakti. It's like Prabhupada. He was sitting in his room in Bombay, and one big businessman came in with a check for $10,000. Prabhupada said, "Who are you?" "I am very big business magnate in Bombay, sir, and I am going to give you some money." So he wrote this check and put it in Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada hardly acknowledged Hare Ram, because there was no bhakti there. He wanted some. There were other businessmen. I am giving him the check. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So then the darshan was over, and then this is one of those little red Prabhupada nectar books. So then later, the Prabhupada's servant who witnessed this, he said, one old lady who was cleaning lady in the temple. She came by, she's cleaning the floor, she saw Prabhupada. So she went outside, and with little money that she had, some paisa, she bought a rose. She came in very humbly with so much appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. She came and she put the rose in his head. Prabhupada was so pleased. He touched her head, he blessed her. "So Ma, what do you do? Oh, I'm sweeper." "No, but if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get Krishna's mercy, take this prasad." So it wasn't the material quality, it was the bhakti. So you can be rich, you can be poor, but you can demonstrate bhakti. You can be king, you can be illiterate. Not that we have to become poor, no material quality. We can also, yukta vairagya, use our good qualifications in the service of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada taught us. Not run away from them, like Arjuna ran away from the battlefield. No, you're a kshatriya, fight for Krishna. You're a Vaishnava, make money for Krishna. You're a Brahmin, preach for Krishna. You're a Sudra, build the temple for Krishna. Krishna's not thinking Sudra, he's seeing the devotion. I remember when my disciple Brajalila was passing away, her lamentation wasn't that she had to leave this world, give up her body. She said, "Guru Maharaj, I have no bhava. I've been a devotee most of I have no bhava. There's no bhava in my heart." She was so worried. "I have no bhava for Radha Shamasundar. They're not going to be waiting for me at the other side of the door. I have no bhav." This should be our... What asset do we want to obtain in this lifetime? We can use so many things in the service of our society, friendship, and love. We don't want to neglect those. But at the end, the only thing that really counts is that by the time you die, you can chant, a little tear will come down your cheek like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And the special mercy of Kali Yuga. Any mercy in this age? Yes. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan astyeka mahaguna kirtanade vikrishnasya mukta sangha panamajat. Hey King, this age is an ocean of inauspiciousness. Anything outside of the realm of pure devotional service is inauspicious. It's either wet stool or a dry stool, but it's inauspicious. Only thing that we're concerned about is pure devotional service. Nothing good left in this age. Devotees are strict like this, black and white, like Kaviraj Goswami. the concept of good and bad in this world is wrong. It's all bad. Wow. Yeah. The one good thing left in this age, that by Krishna Kirtan, by chanting Hare Krishna, one can achieve perfection. That bhav, that devotional will become manifest. So it's an art, it's a culture, it's a lifestyle chanting. Everything we do is connected to it, but it's the essence. So when we have the chance to chant Hare Krishna, we should give it our heart and soul, because those minutes, those hours, those days, you add them up in your whole existence. They're really few and far between, because we have so many other things to do. Towards the end, hopefully we'll all be dedicating more time to that Shravanam and Kirtanam. Prabhupada writes that he's constructed the Krishna Balaram Mandir so that when his disciples become elderly and they retire, they can come and practice Krishna consciousness in the pure environment of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So it's okay. Prabhupada set the glorious example of preaching to the end, but that may not necessarily be the occupation of all devotees. But we all want to be Krishna conscious. So it's okay that at the end of your life you can retire, and what do? You go to the French Riviera, you go to Malaga in Spain, and you go to Florida and Orlando, you build a, no, you go to Vrindavan. You go home. You go as close to home as you can get. You go to Mayapur, and those last days and weeks and months or years, if you're fortunate, you just sit and you chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. All this we learn from this great Acharya, Sri Prahlad Maharaj, and it's all preparation, because in a few days, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating his Ishtadevas appearance, Prahlad Maharaj, his Ishtadevas, Narsingh Bhagavan. So we also worship Narsingh Bhagavan too. Tear out those desires from our heart and protect us in our efforts to become Krishna conscious. So therefore we spoke a little bit about Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisimhadev today in preparation for that glorious festival in a couple of weeks. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.